So let's continue and look at what are the latest performance management trends. We spoke heavily on the entire COVID management scenario, right? And how the world changed after COVID management, the entire COVID scenario. And definitely, organization changed entirely on the way they worked, right? We did see the way the organizations worked. And post-COVID, there was a huge change in the way people worked. Workforce itself underwent a huge change. Industries went through huge change. Industries looked at how are they performing remotely. Industries looked at what is it that they can do to continue to stay productive in the very, very challenging times that COVID threw. Invariably, how do I assess performance when people are working remotely? A lot of new workforce also in these few years that COVID was around, and it's still around in some way or the other, also got added to the workforce. And a lot of new workforce which got added was millennials, right? So let us look at some trends, the way performance management as a process also underwent change. So drastically, in the last decade, we have seen a lot of influx of the millennial population, which became a part of the workforce. Traditionally, performance management was more of an evaluation process. Okay, so I have set goals for you. This is what you are supposed to achieve. These are 1, 2, 3, 4. These are your 4 goals. At the end of 6 months or at the end of the year, I was evaluated on the way I performed based on the goals that were given. So it was more like an evaluative process. It was more of an evaluative process. And but what we also want to look at is that instead of being just an evaluative process, how can a performance management process become a developmental process? How can it become a constructive process? And that's how performance management evolved over the time, that it became more of a developmental process. It became more of a constructive process. The manager and the employee came together to have more and more meaningful conversations, meaningful discussions on what can they do together to be able to perform as to what the organization is expecting out of them. So that was a sea change actually in the last few years, or rather the decade that we saw in terms of the performance changing. So HR was typically a personal department for a long time in the early 70s. It evolved as a function over the time. It was a function which looked at whether people followed processes, whether people followed practices, whether people followed all the policies that they had set up for the organization. So it was more of a compliance police. And slowly the HR also got into moving out of this image, and they wanted to become more of a co-creator or become a partner in the whole process of people growing in organizations. The HR started working on looking at opportunities where people could look at the entire process of performance management as a process of conversation, a conversational process, a feedback process, a growth process, an enabling process. And when COVID really hit, it completely changed many of the performance management processes across the industry. So, well-being in the last 3, 4 years that we have seen, even in our organization, we have seen well-being became a key part of an employee life cycle. The emphasis on overall employee well-being became very, very important, and it also became a part of performance discussion. If people did not feel comfortable at workplace, if they did not feel safe, if they did not feel valued, if they did not feel that the organization cared for them, there was a marked difference in the way they performed at work. So well-being became forefront across industries, across organization as a key primary driver of employee engagement. And organizations went all out of their way to ensure that people felt that the organization cared for them. So there were multiple facets in terms of well-being that organizations looked into. It could be physical well-being, emotional well-being, mental well-being, spiritual well-being, financial well-being. So well-being became a key conversation point in many of the performance discussions as well. So feedback, whatever feedback employees got, it there was a change in terms of understanding this feedback as a coaching feedback. What can I do to become better? Answers were solicited from people itself in terms of what they could do to perform better. Instead of telling them what they are supposed to do, answers were elicited from people what they can do. What is it that they can do to enhance their performance better? The performance management process became more meaningful. It became a more human process where both the manager and the employee was involved, because I think it also became a very caring process where the manager was involved in the employee's well-being, understood from where the performance is coming, where the manager also got into really understanding the employee's psyche in terms of how he performed. Because people were going through a lot personally, they were managing work-life balance while they were working at home. They had to manage, and I am sure many of you saw this at your homes as well. While they managed the illness and the sickness which happened during this 2 or 3, 4 years rather, they also had to manage the various dynamics at their home, families coming together after a long time, families staying together, working together, probably having lunches together as well. All this became a part of their performance. I am sure many of us saw videos where people were on Zoom or they were on Teams, and they saw the children being a part of these Zoom and team calls. Sometimes their parents came in those calls. The way people dressed up on Zoom calls, the way they looked in Zoom calls, a lot of change happened, right? And many of us saw that, right? And so managers became, the family also at times became a part of the workforce. The managers could not ignore this facet of an employee having a family and family being a part of the workforce as well. So having more humane approach towards how people are working from home, the challenges that they face while they work from home became a very key conversation driver in many of these processes. Okay. While all this changed, technology grew, people were working from home, many organizations bought in processes and systems which would enable people to work more effectively from home. Tracking of the way they were performing, their productivity happened through various tools which were installed in people's machine. And we also saw the advent of artificial intelligence being a part of performance management process. I would definitely recommend some of you to see Microsoft Viva, which looks into which is a very, very beautiful tool in terms of really managing an employee life cycle. And we're still looking at how we can use it at our workplace as well. So a lot of AI tools also became a part of managing the performance monitoring how people are doing at work, their attendances, the set of people that they are working with, how much time they are spending at workplace. Many of these aspects became a part of performance management because people were working from home. Managers also needed more time to manage their people better because people were not at work, they were not in offices. So while they managed people up from home, they had to really look at how people were working from home. And HR had to move at that same speed as the world changed, and HR had to really enable itself, reconstruct itself to move as fast as the world was moving. So at any point of time, most of the employee-centric organizations had an edge. The organizations which focused during the pandemic pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, and even now, who had tools which were focused towards employee and being able to capture employee-related information, had an edge. So there were a lot of employee-focused tools. There was user-friendly technology. For example, most organizations use Zoom. Many organizations use Teams. These are very user-friendly technologies where people use to, which people use to kind of converse with each other, talk to each other, and work with each other, have their meetings, have conversations. So tools and technologies became a very, very primary, like a very, very primary requirement in the post-COVID scenario. And organizations had to start thinking of how they can enable their employees to work better, be able to step into the shoes of people, to be able to give them those kind of mechanisms and tools to be able to perform better from wherever they're working, because remote working became a norm over the time. Okay. So it's very important for us to look at post-COVID-19, how organizations moved in this whole space of managing performance. So it was very important for organizations to become agile, because we were moving very fast. The world was moving very fast. You know, it is the fastest. We all know it is fastest. We moved fastest in terms of getting our vaccine up, right? Which vaccines took 10 years to really come out in the market, and we had done it in the shortest possible time. The speed at which the world moved to be able to manage this whole COVID-19 scenario was something which reflected at workplaces as well. It was something that reflected at in the way people were managed, in the way performances were also seen. So it was, I think, a lot of matrix was developed. It was important to build matrix, robust matrix, expand the kind of feedback on conversations, because you're not people seeing people at work, you were seeing them online, you were seeing them on Zoom. So the post-COVID-19 era was very, very important in terms to be able to see what are the various behaviors people showed in this post-COVID-19 era. How did their objectives change? How did they look at performance? How did organizations look at performance? How conversations were looked into? A lot of things came out as a part of the post-COVID. So it was very, very important for managers to be able to build the overall skills of people, skills of their managers to manage performance of their teams and people. A lot of high quality technologies were also used by many organizations. A lot of organizations went mobile, which they had not before. We have been hearing a lot of digital, how organizations went digital, how spaces became more digital, and the speed at which technology moved was really, really amazing. Of course, I think India as a country benefited in this whole thing. The whole IT industry itself got huge benefits in terms of the projects that they got, the world over, the way they kind of moved fast to be able to digitalize a lot of organizations. So it was very important for the senior leadership, senior level people to be able to support and be able to give this kind of guidance to the overall organization to be able to deliver what it was supposed to add. Data had to be verified at all levels. And career development aspirations, remote working, everything had to be managed with very, very high speed, with agility. I think being agile became a very, very important takeaway in the COVID-19 era. You just couldn't wait. You had to move at the speed of light to be able to deliver what was expected of you. So technology was forefront, agility was forefront, data, which we've been using hearing a lot about data mining and how AI is using a lot of this data to be able to be analyze and give us we're talking a lot about predictive analysis, how predictions are able to help us take our decisions faster. So we saw advent of this new era altogether coming after COVID in the workplaces as well, and invariably affecting the way people are managing their performance. Larger teams, of course, newer teams got enabled. Say, for example, in my organization, I have a new team which only does AI, and I have a solutioning team which gives solutions to my customer problems. The teams which were not before, the new teams came up. The organizations took much more larger responsibility in terms of engaging their people, coaching their people. Their objectives changed. Career advancement opportunities changed, and workplaces became more hybrid. Okay, so I think it's very key and crucial for organizations to understand how the performance management takeaways from COVID, post-COVID really changed. So we had to look at how organizations looked in terms of how they engaged their people post-COVID, how they coached their people, how they collaborated. So a lot of collaboration happened virtually, right? And while we moved hybrid, collaboration also happened hybrid. The role of managers changed, and they had to actively get more than just being managers. They had to become more coaches. They had to enable their capability in terms of coaching their teams better, be able to get people to do better in the areas that was expected. Workspaces, especially because a lot of people moved back to their hometowns, spent time with their family. Office spaces became hybrid. We also had a concept of satellite offices. So there were smaller offices across the country where people operated from smaller offices. Business centers, small business centers became key hubs for people to come and work. So it was no longer, workspaces are no longer single workspaces where you have consolidated workspaces. People were working, people moved to gig working, which is another new concept where people work part time, they work on their own free will, they work when they want to work. How they want to work, with which organizations to they want to work. So big gig working became a very key concept, and many people enjoy gig working. So how do you engage a gig worker? He's working for multiple organizations, right? So organizations also had to think of what they could do in a hybrid working environment where employees also moved hybrid. Concept of working itself changed from the way we traditionally saw full-time employees. Instead of that, people moving to more hybrid working spaces, right? And while people became more gig workers, how do you really ensure confidentiality? How do you ensure accountability? One person is working for two or three different organizations at the same time. How do you make him more accountable for the kind of work that he does for your organization? Feedback to a gig worker. And we definitely talked about agility and why organizations had to become more and more strategic in the way they moved. The movement was fast, it was swift. So how performance got measured itself changed now with some of these things that we are talking. One is in terms of people moving hybrid, people are doing gig working, managing confidentiality, data privacy while working from home. We being able to get productive output when people work from home. There is high chance of you being distracted when you are working from home. Your full attention is not there, and hence the role of the manager in terms of coaching his team members, getting them to be able to deliver. A lot of communication has to happen because you're not at workplace. It means you have to continuously have communication, and invariably in all this, your matrix for how a good performance has, how you evaluate performance itself has changed, right? So with all these factors, there's a whole new meaning for performance management post COVID. Okay, so many employees have gone permanently remote. They would want to continue working remote. So the HR has to, what I would call all people related functions. It's not only HR, I think. The administration function, the finance function, a lot of functions which are involved in people management have to be data driven, have to have their data in place, have to manage matrices in place. So transitioning all this from being on place, on premise workplaces to a remote working environment, organizations did see this also as a challenge, and many of them were able to move quickly. So onboarding, offboarding, transitioning remote workers, an office onboarding process, in person onboarding process, and then an offboarding process. When you offboard somebody, when you exit an employee, it's a very personal touch kind of a process. But in the whole of 3-4 years that people, the organizations went through the COVID scenario, onboarding and offboarding people, mobility, I think internal mobility was critical, how people moved from one location to another location, or from one organization to another organization, or moved from one project to another project, one department to another department. A lot of these factors came in play. So onboarding, for example, let's take onboarding. You onboard a person actually joins an organization, he's at workplace, he sees the office, he meets people, he meets his managers. All this used to happen physically. Similarly, on the last day, if a person has to leave an organization, he used to actually say bye-bye to his colleagues. Now, all this happened remotely. A lot of it happened remotely, and for people to be able to connect to the organization, become a part of the organization, feel that loyalty to the organization somehow, in some way, was becoming very, very challenging. And the HR had to really move fast to be able to look at these processes as well. And hence, I think we spoke right in the beginning, a lot of new workforce also joined. The millennial workforce continues to join. The Gen Z continues to join the organization or join the workforce. And hence, the performance management as a process itself had to be changed for the way the new generation looks at how they are assessed. I think in the first year of when we had first year, one of the key lessons that we took for most of our managers was to manage resilience and how to be resilient, because it was a situation nobody had seen. How to thrive through this situation was very important and critical. And most people, while they were at work, they learned these lessons of how important it was to be innovative, to be creative, to think differently, to think out of the box, so that they are able to manage a crisis situation, manage different kind of situations coming their way, to be resilient in terms of the way challenges that were thrown to them. So all these also became a part of the overall performance that they delivered in any organization. People who were resilient, who were able to hold through all the challenges, who were able to really manage or hold their ground, were able to survive and move forward. People who were innovative, who were able to think creative, who could come up with newer ideas and solve problems, give solutions, also survived in these times. Let's look at how do we understand what is it that any employee experiences while he goes through change, or how does he experience the organization, and what happens to him while he or she is looking at his own performance. So it was it is though we work with employees to set their developmental objectives, we did talk about performance becoming from an evaluation process to a developmental process. So employee has to look at the whole performance process as a means for his development, and while organizations looked at the performance process as a developmental process, they also looked at how they could engage employees more and more through, you know, information, through knowledge of what's available on social, what is the kind of feedback they would have got, what kind of motivation would enable them to go through the developmental process. So different organizations looked at employee experience very differently. So employees recognition as a process, like say for in our organization, we have a lot of means of recognizing people. We have our internal intranet through which people get recognized. They're put up you know, there are photographs of our employees on the notice boards. We make it a point that people are visible and heard, and people know that they are rewarded for a certain things. So there are different ways and means in which employees are recognized, and rewards have been enabled for people. So while people get reward, it's all about rethinking the performance appraisal, getting people to be able to learn more in this whole process of remote working as a means.